Thank you, men. What a testimony of our Lord. Well, we're still in Hebrews chapter 11. We've come here to the last verses of this chapter, a chapter that deals with many different men. Of the verses here that deal with many different men, as we look at these, we've taken time to look at them, a number of them individually and their individual circumstances. But you know,
men and make of them something that he wants to use them for. I've titled the message this morning, Faith That Conquers. The scriptures are filled with men of like passions as we are. A phrase that was used when men tried to
bow down to the apostles in the New Testament, and they said, "Man, we're men of like passions, like you are. We're not any different than you are." And we look at the book of Hebrews and these people of faith. We tend to think, "Wow, those are people of great faith." Certainly not as I, and yet. These are just ones, such as you and I, that have exercised their faith and have conquered great obstacles through the power of God, not through themselves, not through their own abilities, but through the power of God. And I think that's what he's seeking here to show us in these verses. We have seen these. We've gone through a number of their faith and what they did, and and he comes to this, and it's like he says, "You know, I haven't even come anywhere near exhausting those of great faith." And he names a few. He says, "What can I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and of the prophets." There in verse 32, we just see men who God made great. Men who God made great. Not men great in their own selves, but men that God made great. And I think as we examine this and we see faith that conquers, that's not something for just a minute or a very small group of men, but it is that God has for all of us. That we would be a people of faith. As we look here in the 32nd verse of men that God made great, he mentions Gideon. Gideon. Remember when the Lord called Gideon? He got him from the threshing floor. Remember Gideon was down in the valley threshing, not up on the hilltop where there was the wind that would really substantially help him in that task. But because of the Midianites and those that would come and take what they had, he was down in the valley for fear of them. But the Lord comes to him in Judges chapter 6. You can read about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And you can see, and I think the Lord tells Gideon in verse 14, he says, "Go in this thy might and save Israel. Have not I sent thee?" And Gideon says, "Lord, how am I going to do that? My family's poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." And if you remember the story of Gideon, how God dealt with him and how God showed him that this was from him. And then Gideon went. And there was a great victory in Israel through Gideon. It was a man that God had made great. He mentions Barak. Barak was one in Judges chapter 4. When you read of Barak in Judges chapter 4, it was at a time when Deborah was the judge there in Israel at that time. It says there in the second verse that Jabin, the king of Canaan, that he reigned, and this man Sisera was over the host there, and they it says that he had 900 chariots of iron. 20 years he had been oppressing Israel. There was a power and a strength that was there. Who could stand up to with their chariots of iron? And you know, that would kind of be like if we were trying to go out against with our small arms going out against an army of tanks. You know, it's just like but Deborah said to Barak, in the 14th verse of chapter 4, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" So Barak went down, and he went out, and it says in the 15th verse, "And the Lord discomforted Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak." So Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. Barak was not a great man of himself. But, in fact, recognizing, and when you read in that, the Lord was using and speaking through Deborah at that time, he told Deborah, "Hey, I'll go, but you're going to have to, but you're going with me." You know, I mean, he was not a great man of himself with a great high self-esteem and to thinking that he was able to do anything. But it was, if the Lord is there in it, then okay, I'll go. And he went. He went against those chariots of iron. And the Lord delivered him, and the Lord used him. And so Barak is mentioned here in Hebrews 11 as one of those men of faith. He talks of Samson. Samson. I read the story of Samson, and I see a man that God gave strength to, a man that had the superhuman strength given to him by God. But reading through those chapters of Samson, I don't see a man of faith. I see a man that lived for himself, a man that really didn't recognize how important it was that his strength came from God. Why is he mentioned as a man of faith? Because when we see in the end of Samson's life, after his strength had been taken away, after he was his eyes were taken out by the Philistines, after he was there in the prison, and they were going to bring him out to make a spectacle of him. There in Judges chapter 16. Samson called, in the 28th verse, it says, "Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines in mine eyes." Samson took hold of the middle pillars of this great arena and the support of it. And he was able to push him aside as of the strength of the Lord. And it says that more was accomplished against the Philistines in that day than in all the time that Samson had reigned before and all the great feats that he had done before. But that was of faith. He recognized the Lord can give me strength. And he called out to the Lord. Samson is mentioned as one of faith. He was great because of what the Lord did. He was greatly humbled there. And so it was at the end of his life that he calls out to the Lord. And we see the Lord strengthen him. And we see the great victory that was there. He was great because the Lord made him great. He mentioned Jephthah, Judges chapter 11. Jephthah. Jephthah was an illegitimate child. Jephthah was cast aside from his people and went and lived elsewhere, though he was a man that had shown his abilities and his strength. Jephthah was called when the Ammonites had come against Israel, and they had nobody to help. And so finally the elders of Gilead, who had outcast Jephthah because of who he was and his illegitimacy, they called him to help. It's interesting, in the 9th verse of Judges 11, he says, "If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, then shall I be your head." He recognized it was the Lord that was going to have to do it. He recognized that he wasn't great in his own self. And so in the 11th verse, it tells us there of Jephthah. It says he went with the elders of Gilead. The people made him head and captain of them. It says, "And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord." Jephthah was able to deliver them with a great victory because God made him great. He recognized that, yes, if the Lord is with me in this, then there will be victory. And so Jephthah is mentioned as a man of faith. Jephthah is mentioned along with those that had a great lineage, but at being an illegitimate child, he's mentioned and listed along with those of great faith because God made him great. David. He mentions David here in that verse. The one phrase that always sticks in my mind about David is when, here as a young man, he comes out there to bring food from home to his brothers that were men of war. There's the Philistines, and there's old Goliath standing out there and railing against God. And David, he's a shepherd, but he's seen the working of God. He's seen the way God has delivered him in the past. And he just says this one phrase, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He says, "What's going on here? Where's the ones? Come on." It was like, "Brothers, get out there. Hey, this is just an uncircumcised. This is just an enemy of God. He's defying our God." Nobody would go. David, as a shepherd, he says, "Well, I'll go out against him." He wasn't a man at that point that was tested in war. He wasn't Saul. Remember, Saul tried to give him his armor, and he says, "I can't use these things. I can use what I got. I got my sling. You know, I got my staff. That's what I've learned to use. But, you know, I'm just a shepherd." But God, he had faith in God. But God made David great. Samuel. Samuel's one who the Lord greatly used. Samuel was taken out of out of his, they're given by his parents unto the Lord. Not great of himself, but it's what God did with Samuel. It's how God used Samuel, and how God spoke through Samuel. He was not a great man of himself, but he was great as the Lord made him great. He mentions the prophets. The prophets. And, you know, multitudes. We could go through all of the prophets. But let's just take Elisha. Elisha, the one that when it was needing a replacement there for Elijah. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19:19, it says, where was Elisha? He was out plowing the field with a yoke of oxen. He was out there plowing. Elisha was a farmer. God made him great. It was God. It wasn't Elisha. He wasn't some great man. So here in verse 32, it just says, he says, I've given you these of faith, and while I could keep talking, what more could I say about Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets? These were all men that were just men. But God had made him great. Then, in verses 33 and 34 and on, it says this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Here we see that in their weakness, they were made strong. These were weak people. And yet through God, they were made strong. It says they subdued kingdoms. They subdued kingdoms. Whole nations were brought to their knees. Whole nations of people were brought to their knees through these that were just by faith had there was nothing of themselves. There was nothing of themselves. It was just they believed God. And they acted on what God said. And God, they found their strength through the Lord. It's always good to go back to that first verse of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Yes, believing God, He is their substance. They had not seen these things performed, the evidence of things not seen. But they went out, and whole kingdoms were brought to their whole nations were brought to their knees. And it says here also of righteousness. It says they wrought righteousness. Righteousness was accomplished through these men. Generations of Israel turned to the Lord. We'll see that again and again. And you know, one of the things you hate to see in the book, like you go to the book of Judges, you go to the book of Judges, and there were those that led them by faith, but, you know, we always kind of, you look at, and Israel again and again turned from the Lord. But in the as you read that, there were many, many years that went through those times, and there were generations that turned to the Lord, and oftentimes until the death of that particular judge or that particular prophet, they followed the Lord. There were generations that had turned to the Lord. Places of idol worship were cast down. Idols were destroyed. God uses men of faith to accomplish His righteous purposes. Let's bring that practically to us today. God uses you and your faith to accomplish righteous purpose, His righteous purposes. Through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained that men would come to Him. Through the faithful declaration of His word, through individuals taking the gospel of Christ and taking it to others, sometimes just the giving of a simple gospel tract in faithfulness, believing that God would have me to do that and to give it to an individual. Sometimes we don't see the results of that. Many of that, we won't see the results till we get to heaven. And they'll say, you're the one that gave me that gospel tract. You're the one that told me about your Lord. I've given the example of my brother, my older brother, who is out in Oregon, has a appliance refrigeration business. He was in a home. He handed the lady a gospel tract. I think it was God's Simple Plan of Salvation tract that he gave her. And she said, "You gave me that tract 10 years ago when you were in my house. And I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And I've been involved in a Bible-believing church those years." Never had any idea this had taken place. But see, that's what God accomplishes, His righteousness, through the simple acts of faith that His people do. I think of Psalm 43 that says, "He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." We've talked about trials. And Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." As we are a people that walk by faith, righteousness will be accomplished, even as it says here in this verse of these. It says, yes, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises. Promises were fulfilled. Of course, as we look back, we see Abraham and Sarah received their son. The Red Sea, the Jordan River was parted, even as God told them that He would do that. That we saw just here the walls of Jericho falling flat, just like God said He would do. They received promises, even as we will also see that some of the promises have not yet been received. But God in His faithfulness will accomplish that which He promised, and it will be done. Lions' mouths stopped. Of course, David, when he talked to Saul, he said, I was out in the field, and the Lord gave me the strength to be able to slay a lion and a bear that came out after the sheep. But of course, the time that really comes to our mind is Daniel. There's those lions that haven't been fed down in the vicious lion's den for which Daniel was thrown. But the scripture says that the Lord sent his angel to close the mouth of the lions. And so that next morning when the king comes out and looks down and there's Daniel calmly sitting there in the lions. I don't know if they were happy, if they were laying there purring. They might have been laying there growling. I don't know, but their mouth was stopped. They couldn't harm Daniel. Daniel had a great confidence and faith in God. He had exercised that faith. He showed that he believed God. Of course, as it talks about the next one, that fire made harmless. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they had declared, our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't choose to, we still will not bow down. We still will worship only God. And it's interesting, here it doesn't say God stopped the fire. He didn't stop the fire, but he took the violence out of the fire. The Lord made that the fire could not harm them. So that what does he say? What does he say there? He says that what am I looking at? Let me read the 17th verse. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In the 27th verse, it says, the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I mean, here is a fire that he has made, as it said, seven times hotter than it had ever been made. The men who cast them in were slain by the fire, and yet God took the violence out of the fire so that it did not touch them, even the smell of it did not touch them. You see, there was victory that was there through faith. He says you escaped the swords. They escaped the swords. There were those that were continually, where their lives were in danger. We read of various of the prophets. We read of David. David, when Saul was seeking his life. Jeremiah, they were out for his life. Jeremiah 39:17. The Lord said to Jeremiah in the 18th verse, 17th and 18th, I will deliver thee in that day. Thou shalt not be given into the hand of men, so don't be afraid. For I will surely deliver thee. Thou shalt not fall by the sword, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. These men had great victory. These men, as it says, were made strong by the Lord. Look at in the 34th verse. He says, out of weakness were made strong. The Lord said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the things which are mighty. God took the weak. He took weak men, and he made them strong. In weakness were they made strong. So when you see that the Lord has, there's something the Lord lays before you to do, and you say, I can't do that. I'm too weak. Well, good. You're just in the right place for the Lord to use you. You're just in the right place where God can use you. If you're one that says, oh, I can do that, no problem, then you've got a problem. Then you're dependent on yourself and depending on the flesh. God wants to take you in your weakness and use you. These here were made strong through weakness. These were made strong through weakness. It says he enabled them. Look at what it says here about he enabled them to be able to fight. They waxed valiant in fight. There's an interesting verse in Psalm 18 about David. In Psalm 18, he says, David says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. I didn't remember reading that before. That was interesting as I was studying this. It says, by my God have I leaped over a wall. He says, I was able to run through a troop, and God gave me the strength to leap over a wall. He goes on in the 33rd verse of Psalm 18, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Says the Lord's enabled me to run like a deer. Isn't that interesting? And he setteth me upon high places. Verse 34 of Psalm 18. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Where did David get his ability to do what he did in war and winning the battles? Not just, of course, we know that with Goliath, you know, he went out with his slingshot, the sling that they used, and his staff. But then he became a man of war. Where did he? He said, the Lord taught me. The Lord helped me to do that. He made it so that by my arms, a bow of steel has been broken. That's what David is just saying here in Psalm 18. I'm amazed at what God did for me. And how God brought me, how God gave me strength who was weak. And then he says here, who turned armies to flight. I mean, you go throughout the Old Testament, and these men, like when Lot and them were taken, and Abraham went out with a few men, and won a great victory. For Moses, and those victories that were won, armies were put to flight that came out against them with Joshua. And when you're reading there in Joshua, as they enter into the land, as you read there, in all of the occasions with the judges, there in the book of Judges, continually, and there with the kings of Israel. Though they were much smaller, though they were weak in the eyes of others, though they were like with the times of Samson when he said that the Amalekites, the children of the east, it says they were as grasshoppers in the land. He said that the multitude was great, but yet in their weakness, God used them and turned the armies to flight. And in the completely hopeless situation that you come to in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. You remember Elijah and the widow. You remember that how when she came to him, she came to him and cried to him about her son. It said, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. 1 Kings 17:22. A time when with death there is no hope. Or is there? Yes, some of you have experienced, even as we were praying for Andy and his family with the loss of his father, and for Joyce there with the loss of her mother. In Christ there is hope. He is life. We know that they've gone, those in Christ have gone even to be with the Lord now. We know that they will be resurrected and the resurrection, and as believers we have great hope. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? See, God has power. Even here when he used Elijah to raise this child. With Elisha, the same thing with the Shunammite woman. He comes and God enables the raising, and God grants the raising of this child to life. Life itself is in the power of God. He gives and he takes away. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is of God. In him we live today and we move and we have our being today because in him we live and move and have our being. Life is of our God. So we see here that God has made men great. Men by faith. We see the victory. We see the victory that God gives through faith. What a blessing it is to see those things today in these scriptures and recognize that God uses the weakness of men to show his might and his power. As I've sought to try to bring these last verses together, I see that greatness that comes by God. I see how God takes the weak and he makes them strong. He used these as they were men of faith. When we come to the next section, which we'll look at in the next message, there are those that did not receive deliverance. And we see that for a whole other section in the passage here. And we'll look at that as well. But let's meditate today upon men are made great by God through faith. And by faith, God takes the very weakness and he shows through it his strength. Might we be a people who don't allow ourselves to mistrust God because of our weakness, but recognize that in our weakness, we then become usable to God for him to strengthen for what he calls. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the victory that is there through faith. Thank you, Lord, for your strengthening power. Lord, may we never doubt or question the ability of our God to do in and through us what he says that he will do. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you today as a people, recognizing our own weakness, recognizing that these people of the Old Testament that were men of faith and spoken here were men of like passions, like as us. And Lord, you're the same. That same power that was given to them, that you can use that for where you lead us today. We pray these things in thanksgiving, in confidence, and in trust of our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.